Hopefully afterwards we'll have time for questions. Our final speaker in the teaching oral today is Karen Panter from the University of Wyoming with Home Labs in an online horticulture course.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Mary. This has been kind of an evolution over the years I've been teaching. I started teaching about 17 years ago at the University of Wyoming. And at UW, we do spend a ton of time on distance education. We are the only four-year institution in the state, and we have seven two-year community colleges that we work very closely with. And so trying to get everyone coordinated and on the same page gets to be very interesting. I started teaching online before it was ever fashionable, and I know there are some people in here who have been teaching online even longer than I have. But since about 2002, the memories are a little fuzzy. And it does work, but the problem, as you all know, is that Hort is so hands-on. How in the heck are we going to do the labs? At UW, our introductory horticulture course is a sophomore-level class. They have to have had an introductory biology class and or our agroecology course, which is also at the 1,000 level. What I initially started to do was teach them, teach on campus, both the class and the lab. After we decided to teach online only, I split it so there's two separate courses. The lab is online, on campus 2026, which I am actually missing this afternoon. And the lecture portion, if you will, is online only. And what we decided finally to do was to, part of the reason that we did that as well is half of my job is extension. And the other half is divided between research and teaching. And I'm theoretically supposed to only teach one three-hour class a semester. Well, this semester I have three. So my students are all kind of on their own this week. So there are a lot of reasons why I do things this particular course online. It's also capped at 30 students. That went out the door a long time ago. This semester I have 35. It's required not only for our horticulture students, but also our ag education students have to take this course. So there's a bunch of people that really need it. So what I did over the years is develop these 10 what we call home labs, and they're things that they can do in their community or in their kitchen, and they don't require they don't have to really buy anything. Some of them do. But any three of the 10, they are required to do. They don't have to tell me what they are. In fact, this morning I got an email from one of the 35 who said, well, if I only pick three, do I get zeros on all the other ones? I said, no. So he was just making sure. We use Canvas, and it has given me fits this last couple days, the app. I could not get my quizzes graded, so I'm not real pleased with the app. A lot of the stuff I can do on my phone or my tablet, but the quizzes have not worked at all whatsoever. So I had to spend $60 and go into the business center to do it on a regular computer. These are the 10 that they have their choice of, and they are due on very specific dates. If they miss that date, they cannot turn it in late. They just have to do a different one. And we do run into times where the students get down to the last 3 weeks of the semester, or of the when these are due, and they, oh, I forgot to do my home labs. And so and that happens every semester too. But they can do any of these that they so choose. And the instructions are quite rigid. Since they have their choice, I don't give on due dates. They are either due that day and they cannot turn them in late because they have the choice. It's their choice. It can be either get the first three done and get them out of the way for the rest of the semester, or I'm interested in this one, and this one, or I've got a midterm this day. I'm not going to do the one that's due that day. So, scheduling, whatever, it doesn't really matter to me. The reasons are not important to me. That's up to each student. So they do, this is last year's, but the dates for obviously this year would be 2017. They're each worth 60 points. They're all written up as scientific format. Introduction, materials and methods, results, discussion, conclusions, and references. Six sections, and there's 10 points per. And I grade them as such. I grade, give them X number of points out of 10 for each of those sections when I grade them online. There is a rubric, and which even that word still kind of grates on my nerves, but I went ahead and did it, and actually it does help. And you may notice in here that there is something about, I guess I didn't put that in. These are screen grabs is what these are. But the students actually can do these in any format they want, if as long as they include all six of the sections that are involved in a scientific paper. They can do it using video or PowerPoint or just a regular text document. It doesn't matter to me. I had one student last fall who did every single thing using video. He absolutely loved it. And the nice thing about Canvas, if any of you can't use Canvas, you can record within Canvas, which I really like. So these are the point spreads for each of the sections. And then if there's any discussion, which there rarely is, because it's all spelled out here, well, go look at your rubric and you'll see, you know, what was required for however many points. This is the other half of it. And they do have to put in X number of citations, and I don't allow them to use .coms. And I get questions about that every year, too. Why can't we use .coms? Well, and then I have them tell me some reasons why, and they always come up with the right reasons. So they can use .orgs, .govs, .edus. I mean, there's a ton of information at each of our institutions that are all .edus. There's really no need to use a lot of .coms anyway. I'll just show you a few. It's a little small. Sorry about that. But the plant structures one, they just have to know what a horticultural plant is to begin with. And I get a lot of, they have a terrible time trying to figure out what's agronomic and what is horticultural and what is forestry. So we go through all that. But each section has very specific questions that they're supposed to answer, and they will get X number of points if that's all they do. If they expand on any of these and add additional information or do some additional research on each of the sections, then of course they will get more points. And the other thing I have to put in there is legal in Wyoming. And I got a question from one of my students this semester is a law enforcement. He's a sheriff's deputy. And he had a question about it. And, you know, Laramie is 25 miles from the Colorado border. And you know what's legal in Colorado. And so I have to put that in because I have had students who just insisted that they wanted to use cannabis or hemp or what, you know, all these other things. Those are not the only ones, but... I don't allow any of those because I can get in trouble in Wyoming for, you know, all the federal stuff. And then they are also required to include photos of either the object or whatever it was we were talking about. In this case, it's the insect and disease one. And there, in some cases, they'll take a selfie of them in the store with the package of grass seed or whatever it is that they happen to be looking at. So this, I love that picture of mealybugs. That's great. They all look at that and freak out. The turf grass one, we do have a fair number of our students who are very interested in turf grass management, so I include that one for them. Landscape plants, that's my front yard. A lot of students really like this one because this one they can just kind of pick a neighborhood yard that they like. It may be theirs, it may be their neighbor's, it may be one that they just pass every day on their way to school. So I include that one. The edible crops, a lot of students have difficulty with what's a fruit and what's a vegetable, so, as you all know. And so I put one of those in for the students who are interested in the edibles. Pruning is, not a lot of students do this one because they're very unsure about it, but I did include it because there are a lot of our students who actually are interested in arboriculture, so there's the pruning one. And very few people, students included, know how to read the label on a fertilizer bag or a package of growing mix, and so this one is included for that. And the students like the next two, this one and then the rooting cuttings, but invariably they wait too long to start them. And then they'll sow the seeds a week in advance and then wonder why nothing happened. And well, hello. And then the other one is the vegetative propagation one, and they rarely ever start this one in time either. But I put those in because they're simple to do. You can find bean seeds almost anywhere. You know, most of us have some types of seeds available at virtually any time. And the last one is florist crops, and I'm a floriculture person, and so this one, I had to put this one in. And the student, you know, I have been a terrible scientist with this. I must admit, I have not done any long-term, do you like this? You know, what about the home labs? Do you hate? But what I find is they don't really say a whole lot. And actually, in an online course, I think that's a good thing. UW has gone to completely online evaluations for courses and instructors, which I do not like for many reasons, but that's a whole nother talk. But it's what you get is those students who really loved the class, or you get those that just absolutely hated it and will just pick. Okay, at anything. And so this is the last slide. Some of them want more detailed instructions. They don't quite know how to think through these things. And I do get a fair number of questions emailed to me about them. But they do seem to like the hands-on opportunity. And that has come up in numerous cases. And this quote at the bottom is from one of the ag ed students that I had over the years. I'm not sure which one, obviously, but... So it's a just fairly easy way to get some hands-on experience for the horticulture introductory students, and it's worked pretty well. I'm fairly happy with it. So with that, questions, comments, suggestions? Yes. It's more of a, this one, they don't actually go out and prune anything because that would be, you know, we've all seen really bad pruning jobs in our neighborhoods, but just the basics, you know, what equipment do you need? What kinds of plants? And then I ask them to pick a couple of woody plants and figure out how they're supposed to be pruned. Yeah. Good question. Anybody else? It does work. Thank you.